Series between Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's a time of thankfulness and a time of gifts. And so we're looking at how we've been gifted by God and the ways that He has blessed us in our lives, and so that we have an understanding of who we are and who He's created us to be, and to be more thankful for the things that He's done for us, maybe the things that we don't realize or even remember. I want to show you, this is an 18-year-old homeschooler who appeared on America's Got Talent singing a song about what else? But homeschooling.
I'm the type of guy that the ladies just can't refuse. I'm the guy who understands everything about social cues.
Hi, I like your face.
I bet you're wondering how I got this way. A social butterfly, the ladies never leave alone. Well, the answer is pretty clear. It's 'cause I was schooled at home. Who needs friends or relationships? I can get those things from my cat, Cinnamon. I could stay in bed till 3 p.m. and be completely naked for my final exams. The only time I thought, something might be wrong is when my date to the prom was my mom. Don't go to prom with your mom.
So don't go to prom with your mom. Well, we're looking at this idea of God's giftedness to us. And so He's on a show called America's Got Talent. And so some of the folks who appear on there have talent, and some of them do not. And so we look at people and we say, that person is naturally talented. And that's true. So today we want to look at this idea of what does it mean to be talented, and what does it mean to be empowered by God and gifted by God? And so one of the great things is you don't have to take your mom to the prom to find out. We can go to God's Word in order to do that. And so when we talk about this idea about spiritual gifts or gifts of the Spirit, an important question is exactly what does the Spirit give us? The usual assumption is this. The Spirit gives certain abilities or talents to chosen individuals. He gives them those talents and abilities to equip them to meet the needs of God's people. And so what happens is we then believe that we have a gift or talent from God. And then we ask, how can I identify my spiritual gift? And so we engage in this anxious introspection. We compare ourselves to the list in the New Testament. We're hoping to uncover some talent that's been mysteriously bestowed upon us by the Holy Spirit. We take inventories. We take online assessments. We do all kinds of things. Here's one of the things that I found out about these assessments, and I've actually given them before. They never lead to anyone doing anything. You take the assessment, and then you tuck it in the drawer, and you forget about it. Besides filling out a lot of paperwork, I don't know that it accomplishes much else. It's kind of like working for the government. There's lots of paperwork, right? But not a whole lot gets done at the end of the day. Lots of red tape, but not a lot of practical application. And so we want to understand this idea of what it means to have a spiritual gift. What does it mean to be gifted from God? And a theologian, Kenneth Burding, challenges this idea that God gives us these gifts and then we don't know what they are, and we have to kind of discover them and strenuously dig for them. And the idea is this, when we're looking at the idea of spiritual gifts, seek ministry first, ability second. Everything that we're going to look at today is summed up in this one statement. Seek ministry first and then ability second. When you study the New Testament, our ideas need to be challenged. Like, we all need to go with a fresh perspective. And so the New Testament list of gifts in the New Testament are really gifts of what? They're not so much abilities as they are ministries or ways to serve other people. Kenneth Burding says this, spiritual ministries rather than abilities is what links these passages together. Ministries, rather than special ability, is the theological entity lying behind the passages. Spirit-given ministries is what accounts for all of these passages. Special abilities or enablements do not. You see, we've been looking at the passages all wrong. We've been looking at the passages as abilities, and really what they are is that they're ministries that God has given to us to serve other people. And so the question is, are these spiritual gifts, talents, or tasks? They're kind of both, but we want to unpack how we can look at them and maybe be encouraged in our own lives about the ways that God has gifted us. You see, they're not either or. Both talents and tasks are involved in spiritual gifts, but they're not in equal proportions. So God does not give someone these great abilities and then give them a great ministry at the same time. The spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us is a task or a ministry, but the kind of ability or the degree of the ability will depend and will vary from task to task. The bottom line is this. When we are seeking to identify our spiritual giftedness, our spiritual gifts, we should first ask, what area of ministry is the Holy Spirit calling us to fulfill? And then secondarily, we should be looking for the ability. Ministry first, what? Ability second. Now, the Holy Spirit does give abilities. However, these abilities are given in relationship to what? The ministry that He's called us to do. Ministry comes first, and then the ability comes to follow through with that ministry. John Stott says this, "We might perhaps define spiritual gifts as certain capacities bestowed by God's grace and power which people for specific and corresponding service." God gives gifts for what? For the corresponding service. Thomas Edgar says this, "A spiritual gift is an ability given to an individual supernaturally by God through the Holy Spirit, so that the recipient may utilize that ability to minister to the needs of the church." We are given a gift to give to others. The gifts that God gives us, and when it comes to spiritual gifts, are not for us, but they're to serve and to build up the body of Christ. Now, there is a difference between providential abilities and Spirit-given abilities, and it causes some confusion sometimes. You see, what we say is, well, I was good at this before I became a Christian, so what does that mean now? And we look at people and we say, that person seems to have a natural talent or a natural ability, music or art or electronics or speaking or whatever that is. And that person, we say, they seem to have a natural talent or ability, and that is exactly true. Providential abilities are the talents and the capacities that are present in all persons apart from their relationship with Jesus. You see, God in His providence gives human beings gifts of providential abilities. So that's why you can have non-Christians, non-believers, doing some wonderful things musically and artistically and architecturally and with literature, right? And so God does give gifts and abilities to people apart from their relationship to the church. Now, it could be, right, it's innate or it's developed through education and practice, right? Musical talent, you need practice, speaking skills, right? Those kinds of things can be developed. But many non-Christians have such abilities, and they have these providential abilities. You don't become a concert pianist when you are baptized if you've never touched a piano prior. You just don't. Like, God does not give at your conversion, kaboom, this ability that you just mysteriously appeared out of nowhere. God gives providentially to all people. He gives gifts and talents to everyone separate from their relationship to the church. Marshall Legas said this, "A gift in the New Testament is not a talent. A talent is given indiscriminately by God at birth to those who will become Christians and those who will not become Christians. Many talented people do not use their talent to build up the body of Christ. But a gift is given only to Christians and given to them by the Holy Spirit." And so we read in James chapter 1, verse 7, what does it say? Every what? Good And what does it say, church? Perfect gift is from above, coming down where? From the Father of lights. What does it say? Every good and perfect gift is given by who? Is given by God. So we don't need to assume that a natural talent becomes a spiritual gift once a person becomes a Christian. Because Paul, right, he was a great thinker before he became a Christian. He was selected to apprentice under Gamaliel. And so Paul had gifts and abilities, and it wasn't like on the road to Damascus, and when he met Jesus and he became a Christian, it wasn't like God suddenly poured these abilities into Paul's life. He already had those abilities. And so non-Christians and Christians all have abilities, all given by God. So it's not the ability that makes it a spiritual gift, because we all have them. So what does happen to a person who is naturally talented or skilled when they become a Christian? How does that person then use that talent for a gift? I want to give you three ways in order to do that. The first one is this, is just acknowledge. We acknowledge that this talent is a gift, a providential gift from God, right? And so when a talent, when we are naturally gifted, that God gives to all people providentially at the moment they're born, it doesn't matter who they are, they have a gift and a talent. So how do I take that ability that I seem to be born with? How does that then become a spiritual gift? One is I acknowledge that the gift is from God. That's why we celebrate Thanksgiving. That's why we remember God's good gifts to us. That's why we remember that God is the giver of all good gifts. And so I say, Lord, thank you for this talent or this ability that you've given to me out of your providence. And providence is God's working in our world today. He just does that. But the second thing that I can do is that I prayerfully and submissively, I dedicate that talent to the service of God and God's people. And so in my life, I say, I seem to have this natural talent or this natural ability. Now I become a Christian. So what do I do with that ability? Well, I dedicate it, right, to God and God's people. I say, Lord, in your providence, you have poured this talent and ability into me. So how can I use this talent and ability then in the service to God and God's people? That then becomes my spiritual gift. That becomes the way God uses my talent to serve him and his people. And the third thing is this. I wait. We hate to wait. You see the lines on Black Friday all the way down the street. I'm sure some people got injured as they were rushing in to get the sale items that are going to be on sale tomorrow, right? They're all rushing in. We just hate to wait. We don't want to wait. Listen, God is not in a hurry. We might be in a hurry, but God is not in a hurry. When you don't have a beginning and you don't have an end, what is time to you? It's nothing. And so when we rush in and we want to find out, we do all these things, right? And the best thing I can do is to wait. I wait then for the Spirit to give me a ministry. I've got the talent, I've got the ability, I'm dedicating it and saying, Lord, you've given me in your providence these talents and these abilities. Now I'm going to wait a minute or a week or a year, but I'm going to wait, right? And in the meantime, I'm still going to serve, I'm still going to do things, right? There's just stuff that needs done in the kingdom. It's not waiting, not doing anything, but Lord, I'm going to wait on you. What's the ministry that you have for me? And that's the spiritual gift that we are given by the Holy Spirit. You see, the Spirit gives ministries. You have your talents and your abilities, but ability alone doesn't constitute a spiritual gift. Here's the crucial element in a spiritual gift. Its main essence is the ministry or the task to which you are called. That is the biblical definition of a spiritual gift. The ministry to which you are called. You see how that's different than just the ability? Because we generally just assume spiritual gifts are the abilities. I can do this. I can't do that. I'm mad at you because you can do this And I can't do that, right? I want what you can do, right? No, 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 no. The abilities are given providentially. The spiritual gift is when God uses those abilities in a ministry to which you are called. That is the spiritual gift. Marshall Leggett goes on and says this: let me attempt to define the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are responsibilities given to Christians for them to bless the lives of other Christians in the church in order to make the body strong. That is the bottom line of what a spiritual gift is. It is a responsibility. And we tend to like to turn things on its head and make it all about me. Wow, Lord, look what you've given me, right? You didn't give it to so-and-so. Look what you gave to me. How can I use this to build me up? And that's not a spiritual gift. That's just your providential ability that you have. That's why we see people who have great abilities and they can be very arrogant with those abilities, because why? They haven't dedicated them to the Lord. They haven't given them and said, wait a minute, Lord, how are you calling me? What responsibility are you giving to me? Spiritual gifts are services, or they are ministries. If you're still not convinced, turn to Romans chapter 12. This is one of those passages where Paul talks about the church as a body. And Paul's illustration of the church as a body is every part, right, does its job so that the body is healthy and that the body is growing and that the body is being built up. And so in Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 3, we read this: for by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly, as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. Remember, each one has one. If you are a believer, you have a gift. You have a responsibility. You have a ministry. And now he illustrates it with a body. Now, as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. We like the individually part. We don't like the members of one another part so much. Individually means I get to do what I want, when I want, how I want to do it. But members one another means what? I have a responsibility to the body. I have a responsibility to other Christians, to other believers. So yes, I'm an individual, but I also am a member of one another. We are part of one another. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. And now he says, here's how we differ. If prophecy, use it in according to the proportion of one's faith. Service, use it in service. If teaching, in teaching. If exhorting, in exhortation. Giving with generosity. Leading with diligence. Showing mercy with cheerfulness. All of the gifts that Paul mentions in that list, except for the first one, are participles. Now, I know you may be having bad reactions to grammar when you were in school. I don't remember what a participle is. All a participle is something that ends in ing, is one of the ways you can identify it, right? And so when Paul lists all these gifts, what he is saying is the gifts are what? Teaching, exhorting, giving, leading, mercying, right? Servicing, right? All those things are what? Actions. It says the gifts that God gives to the church are actions. They are ministries. They are responsibilities given to believers in order to build up the church, in order to build up other Christians. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says this: there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different what? Ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God produces each gift in each person. See what Paul just said in 1 Corinthians 12? God produces a gift in a person, but what is the thing he produces? Activity. Ministry. Paul says in verses 4 to 6 of 1 Corinthians 12, the gift that you have been given is what? A ministry, it's an activity. He says it pretty plainly right there. So what the Holy Spirit gives is a ministry, is a function, is a role, or a responsibility. Now, part of responsibility is what? Ability. Responsibility, right? So how does my ability fit in? There's a couple ways that I can distinguish how my ability fits in. And so the Holy Spirit may look at someone and take into account those providential talents and appropriate them for His use. Those giftedness that God gives us just by His providence, just by being made in His image, He may look at one of those talents and use that for His service in His kingdom. Give that as a responsibility. He may take an already present, maybe modest skill. He may heighten it or maybe enhance it for more effective service. He did that with the craftsmen in the Old Testament when they built the tabernacle. They were gifted. They were artisans and they were craftsmen. They were already gifted before the call went out to build the tabernacle. And so what happens is then their spiritual gift was the responsibility that was given them to come work on the tabernacle in Exodus chapter 31. Or it may be an altogether gift of the Holy Spirit given to someone where they've had no ability or a talent beforehand. For instance, the apostles. Read through the book of Acts. The apostles had the ability to perform miracles. That wasn't something they were born with. That wasn't a providential ability that was given to them. It was a gift that God gave to the apostles in order for them to begin the church and lay the foundation for the church. And so my abilities are, God may take that into account and call me and give me a gift. He may take an ability that I have and heighten it and maybe use that for ministry. John Stott says this, a spiritual gift then is neither a capacity by itself nor a ministry or office by itself, but rather a capacity which qualifies a person for ministry. Most simply, it may be regarded either as a gift and job in which to exercise it or a job in the gift with which to do it. It's both the gift of the job, it's the gift of the ministry, it's the gift of the task, and it's also the talent to do it. The Spirit gives us a spiritual gift by calling us to a task. When you think of gifts, that's not the kind of gift that you necessarily want. When we celebrate Christmas in a few weeks and someone gives you a gift and the gift is a coupon for you to wash their car every week, you're going to be like, I'm not so sure I like this gift, right? When the gift to you, right, is to do the laundry every week, my gift to you is I'm calling you to a task to do laundry every week. We will be a little upset. That doesn't look so much like a gift. But it's a spiritual gift. And the Spirit is working on our flesh. And the Spirit is working on our natures. And so when the Spirit gives us a gift, we want the kind of gifts that we give each other. Something I can spend on myself. Something that 'll make me feel good. But that's not how it works with God. Remember, in God's economy, what? Up is down and first is last. And the least is the greatest. And so when God gives a gift, it's a responsibility. He gives it to us and calls us into service. The Spirit bestows a gift by calling us to a task. And when the Spirit issues the call, that's your spiritual gift. You can look at it this way. A spiritual gift is a calling, it's your ministry, and it's the ability. And the sweet spot is that center, right, where everything works together. The ministry, your spiritual gift, is that sweet spot in the middle. God calls us through the church. It's not some mystical voices. It's not some experience or it's not some feeling. God calls us through the church. In Acts chapter 6, the apostles called seven men to the ministry of benevolence. They said, it's not good for us to wait on tables. We need to devote ourselves to the word and to prayer. So we're going to call seven men, and they're going to be given the ministry of benevolence. How were those men given a spiritual gift? Well, they had the call, and the call was what? From the church. They had the ability to do it. You don't send people to wait on tables who can't carry a tray full of dishes. Like, you just don't do that. And so they had the ability to do that as well. And their ministry, the place of service, right? All those things work together. Timothy, he was called by Paul. So his spiritual gift was the calling of the Holy Spirit, what? Through the church. In Acts chapter 14, elders were appointed. They what? They were called by the church. We are members of one another, and we can't think of our spiritual giftedness apart from the church. It's connected, and it's part of the broader community of faith. We have this "I don't care what others think" attitude, but that kind of individualism is not biblical. We saw the clip from America's Got Talent. If you watch any of those other shows, American Idol, maybe The X Factor, somebody gets up and they say, "I'm going to sing," and they start singing, and like you just want to jump out the nearest window. Like they cannot sing, and they just think they're awesome, right? And so they get buzzed, or they don't get chosen, and then they go behind the scenes. And so the person always interviews them, right? On America's Got Talent, it was Nick Cannon in that video. And he always goes behind the scenes and interviews the person. And what does the person always say? "I don't care what the judges think. I'm going to be me." Well, you're not going to sell any records, I can tell you that, if you're going to be you. You sometimes need to listen to other people. You say, "I don't care what they think, I'm just going to continue doing what I'm doing." Yeah, and you're going to be working at Chuck E. Cheese in a couple weeks also. Like, it isn't going to work. Like, all that has to go together. And Simon Cowell was always the judge, but I love Simon, right? He doesn't beat around the bush. He says, "You stink. You can't sing. Get off the stage," right? And yet in our individualism, we're like, "Well, he can't tell me what to do," right? In our heads, we're the greatest. Like, in my head, I have perfect pitch, right? Like, I could star in all the movies, pitch perfect, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, right? Like, but when the words come out of my mouth, it's a whole lot different. But we are like that unless we have feedback from others, right? In our heads, we are the greatest. I'm the greatest whatever, artist. I'm the greatest composer. But the feedback has to come. That's why this graphic is so important. You see, the calling from the Spirit oftentimes, most of the time, comes where? Through the church. You see, people sometimes have spiritual gifts or ministries that nobody wants. And if you have a ministry that nobody wants, you've answered the wrong call. It's got to find somewhere to plug into the church. It's got to find somewhere that's going to minister to people. It's got to be somewhere that's going to build up the body of Christ. And we can be as bad as those contestants. We can go off to the side and we can just say, "Well, I just don't care. People don't appreciate my gift and my talents and my abilities, and I'm going to keep on being who I am." But the problem is, I'm going to keep on being who I am by myself. And my giftedness is always for what? For others. And so this calling that comes through the church, it all needs to work together. The possession of an ability, of a natural ability, is not the equivalent to possessing a gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, there are some very talented people, but that doesn't equate a gifting from the Spirit. Here's one of the things that God does. God has this great sense of humor. You may have a fabulously gifted person in a certain area, and the Holy Spirit's going to give them a gift of a ministry in another area, and they're going to find joy, and they're going to find service, and they're going to find fulfillment, and they're going to find fruitfulness in something that's totally not related to their ability. Why is that? Because God just does that. He's the one who gives the gifts. He's the one who gives the responsibilities. He's the one who gives the call. You see, ability alone leads to arrogance. And the antidote is always the humility of ministry. You know, life would be so much better if it wasn't for other people. Let's just be honest, right? It just really would. If I could just go on vacation by myself, if I could go to college by myself, if I could go to work by myself, right? And we just think life would be so much better without others, but it won't last very long. And it was very boring. But you see, we do that in the church. It's just going to be me and Jesus by myself. And God has never called us to that kind of a life in Christ. Even a gifted person must be called to ministry. And then there's the limitations of Scripture, right? In the New Testament, every way the Holy Spirit came upon somebody was through an intermediary. Like somebody, there was a person that issued the call. There was a person, that's how God works. He just works through other people. Even when someone becomes a Christian in Acts 2:38, right, that indwelling of the Holy Spirit comes by what? You're even baptized by someone else. It's just how God works. He works through other people. And so the sweet spot of my ministry has to be all of those together. It's the calling that's issued by the kingdom, by the Holy Spirit through the church. Again, my ability and my ministry, all those work together. So I want to give you a couple ways. You're probably wondering, well, how do I identify this? I understand the thing about abilities and the spiritual gifts are really ministries. Here's three ways that you can identify your gift. The first one is this. I'm not going to send you to do an inventory, right? You're not going to have to go online and check all the boxes and fill in all the things and then come out with a list that you can throw away, right? This is how you identify your gift. The first one is this. Think in terms of ministry rather than ability. In fact, we should maybe stop using the word spiritual gift and use the word ministry instead. Spiritual ministry is what he gives to us. Maybe the spiritual gifts class should be renamed to the ministering to one another class. Because that's exactly what a spiritual gift is. When he calls us, he equips us. Oftentimes we have it backwards. God has equipped and he's given me a gift and now I need to find a ministry. However, what God does is he calls us to a ministry and then we find ourselves being effective in a ministry. And we're like, I never in a million years would have thought I would be doing this. And I never thought I would do this as a ministry. I didn't know I had it in me. That's exactly right. You were called to the ministry. You were called to the service. And then you are equipped. And there is joy. And there is fruitfulness. And there is fulfillment in that. And you may have experienced that in your own life. That someone has called you to a ministry. And depending how you look at it, you may feel like you were stiff-armed into the ministry, but you were called, right? There's something that needs done, and you do it. And all of a sudden, you find yourself doing it. And there's this fruitfulness, and there's this fulfillment. That is your spiritual gift. So we think in terms of ministries rather than abilities. Where are you called to minister? Maybe you have a heart for single moms, right? So what do? I find single moms to minister to. Then I use my abilities, right? I think in terms of ministry, what's the ministry first? So my ministry is the Holy Spirit has placed on my life this calling, right, to minister to single moms. Now my abilities come into play. So let's say I am a mechanic and I can work on a car in the dark, right? You have a great ministry then to what? Single moms. You see, the ministry, the call came first. And then my abilities came in and it tweaked it and it helped me discover where I can use that and how I can use that. Maybe my abilities are in finance. I still have a call and a heart for single moms. The Holy Spirit has given me that spiritual gift. And so now my ability in finance is I can help with budgeting and with bill payments, right? Investments and all those kinds of things. What came first? The ministry, then the ability. See how that works? Or maybe I have this great ability in tutoring, right? I can make the most complex ideas understandable. My calling is to minister to single moms. My ability is tutoring. So what am I going to do? I'm going to minister to single moms by tutoring their children, especially older kids who are in advanced mathematics, right? So my call, my spiritual gift is what? I want you to minister to single moms. And my ability comes in. Maybe my call is to minister to young married couples. And so the Holy Spirit gives me a spiritual gift. My spiritual gift is a responsibility, a ministry to young married couples. Now, how does my abilities come in? Maybe I'm a teacher and I can teach. And so I can work with young married couples and teach, you know, about all kinds of things. Communication and finances and all those kinds of things. Maybe my ability is mentoring, right? I can work with people and by example. And so my ministry, my spiritual gift was what? Young married couples. But my ability comes in and that helps me to figure out how to service that. Does that make sense? Like we think what? A ministry first, ability second. We've had it backwards for far too long. We say, man, I am great in finance. And so now I just need to find a ministry. And I need to go out. No. Back up. You find the ministry first, and then God will equip you to fulfill that ministry. The second thing that we need to do is this, is be sensitive to the needs of the body. Ask yourself how God has positioned you to meet the needs of folks that are already in the body, already in the community faith. To be sensitive to someone's needs. Here is the bottom line. Ready for this deep theological method? You need to listen more than you talk. That's how you are sensitive to the needs of the body. You just listen more than you talk. Then you'll hear people's hurts. You'll hear their hopes. You'll hear their heartaches, right? And as you are living life in the body, you are going to be sensitive to the needs that are around you, and that will help you identify your ministry, your giftedness. Because one of those needs, your ears are going to tingle and your heart's going to race, and you'll be like, oh, I can do that. I can meet that need. I can serve and minister to that person. And in that moment, you've identified your what? Your spiritual gift. And that's how God wants you to use that. The third thing is this, is to serve, care for, and live life in the body. Your spiritual gift operates within the context of the body, right? Your heart does you no good if you left it on the kitchen counter at home this morning. Your kidneys are not going to do you any good if they're out in the car waiting for you to get done with church. It's the body, what? Working together. You need to be connected and involved in the lives of other people. Spiritual gifts do not operate apart from relationships. Contrary to the definition, the gift is not for you. It's for someone else. The church may see a need and issue a call, and if you're not plugged in, you'll never hear the call. And then your giftedness or your ministry will not be able to meet the needs of others. There's always a little concern when there are greatly talented people who have providential abilities and they live life apart from the body of Christ. And what does that mean? That means I serve, I care for, I'm plugged in, right? That means I just hang out with church, with people in the body of Christ. Look, not exclusively, right? We have a mission, right? We can't always be in a holy huddle. But the body is the community of faith where I serve and my giftedness is used. And I just need to hang out with folks. One of the best ways to do that is just eat together. We're going to do that in a couple minutes. Just care for one another and serve one another and to minister to the needs of other people. You see, when I look for my spiritual gift, I need to be involved in the body. I need to be plugged in. I need to get to know people. I need to have them get to know me. And so when God consistently blesses your efforts, right? When I think that this is my giftedness and I'm doing this and God blesses my efforts, how do I know that He's blessing my efforts? Well, there's joy for me, and there's fruitfulness for you, right? There's this thing that we bought into that ministry needs to be awful. Remember the monks from the Middle Ages were just walking around, you know, with the flagellum. Like, that is not ministry. Ministry should be a joy because God has given you a responsibility and He's given you the abilities to fulfill that responsibility, but it's a joy for you and it's a fruitfulness for someone else. They are growing. They're moving along in their faith. They are experiencing more joy and more faith. They're experiencing more fruit of the Spirit in their own life. And when they experience that to increasing degrees, I experience the joy because I know God is using me. So is it a talent or a task that you've been given? It's the task with the talent to fulfill it. God has gifted you with a responsibility. God has gifted you with a ministry if you are a believer in Jesus. If you have the indwelling gift of the Holy Spirit, you have been given a gift of the Spirit, which is a responsibility in the body of Christ. So if you're not quite sure what that is, I want you to acknowledge you've been given that gift, dedicate that to the Lord. Then what was the third one? Wait. I wait. I don't wait forever. Right? I just wait for some clarity. I serve in the meantime. I do what I need to do. but I wait for the place that I know that the Holy Spirit has called me to ministry. As we have our time of prayer, our time of decision, our time of commitment, it's a time for all of us to say, Father, thank you. Thank you on this Thanksgiving weekend that you have gifted me. You have given me a responsibility in the body that I can be useful, that I can build up the body, that I can help the body grow into maturity, that you've given that to me. And so just to thank God for that giftedness. And if I'm not quite sure where, it's a time now for me to start to pray and say, Lord, where are you calling me to ministry? I'm waiting. I have abilities. I know what I can do. I need to know where I need to do it. And you pray that prayer. And you ask the Lord to show you that ministry. Father, how can I become more involved in the body? How can I just be more involved in people's lives? How can I just rub shoulders and elbows with folks in the body more than I'm doing now? What are ways that I can be plugged in and get to know people so that I can listen and hear the hurts and the heartaches that I'm uniquely qualified to minister to? You see, God has gifted you. You don't have to go on America's Got Talent. You don't have to be an American Idol. You don't have to go on X Factor. The fact that you are in the body of Christ means that you are talented. That means that you have something that you can give. And we start by asking the Lord what that is. Would you please stand? And we're going to pray. Father, oftentimes we're guilty of playing with the wrapping paper, not the gift. Like we are just in awe of the packaging, but God, it's not the essence of the gift. And God, for far too long, we've been looking at abilities and talents and all of that. But God, we've missed the essence of the gift, and the gift is the responsibility. You always give us the ability to do ministry. But God, may we, over these next few moments, and even throughout the week and the days, maybe the months ahead, listen for that still small voice. Listen for your call on our lives. Where are ways that we are gifted to meet the needs of others, the responsibilities that you've given to us? And then, Father, whatever abilities we have, we know that you will use them to help us to meet those needs and to meet those ministries. But Father, for right now, we just want to wait on you. And God, listen to you. And say, Lord, how have you gifted me? What responsibility have you given to me? And then, Father, how can I fulfill that? Father, how can I love the body better? How can I serve the body better? How can I know the body better? Father, how can I just live life and to know where those needs are? Father, we thank you. Thank you that you've gifted us. God, thank you that you have given the gift of your Spirit in our lives. And so, Father, now we just dedicate our lives to you. We surrender and submit all that we are to you, seeking your wisdom and your guidance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.